We turn now to our scripture reading for our worship service this morning. You can find it in the book of Psalms. We read together the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with or rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness upon children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thus far God's holy and eternal word. My dear congregation, I ask your attention for our text words this morning. You can find them in the chapter that we read together, Psalm 103, the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Our theme as we consider these words is the saints blessing the Lord. First, blessing Him for His being, and secondly, blessing Him for His benefits. Saints blessing the Lord for His being, first, and secondly, for His benefits. Dear congregation, sometimes in life, things are not as we would expect them to be. Sometimes we can look at a situation or a statement, and we can pause and look at that thing or that statement, and we can ask ourselves this question, what does it mean? Or we can go one step further and we can say, it doesn't seem to make sense. In fact, it seems to be flipped around, or it even seems to be backward. Well, I believe so it is, dear congregation, with this psalm at first glance. Because here in Psalm 103, a very familiar psalm, I trust, for most of us, it's partially at least in our Lord's Supper form, We're used to the very versification of it, the sound of it, even as we hear it. But if we look very carefully at it, we see David, the man after God's own heart, speaking to himself. Many of the Psalms, of course, are prayers. He's speaking to God and he's exhorting others. But here he's talking to himself. And if that is not unique enough, he is telling himself to bless the Lord. Now, at first glance, congregation, that seems so backward, doesn't it? It seems to be flipped around. Because after all, we may ask ourselves, aren't we to ask God to bless us? Isn't that what we do in our prayers? We say, Lord, please bless us. Lord, please bless our family. Please bless our church family. Please bless our nation. We pray for God's blessings upon us. And our initial response indeed may be, this seems backward. And we may even think of biblical texts as we would strengthen our case thinking about this. Didn't Jacob wrestle with the angel and say, I will not let thee go. The angel representing Christ, in fact. I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Or didn't Paul write in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And of course, the benediction that we use at the end of each sermon, clearly from Scripture, the Lord bless thee and keep thee and cause his face to shine upon thee. And so that's God blessing his inheritance, God blessing people. But here we have a saint, David, blessing the Lord. The order is completely different. Completely 180 degrees different. So clearly, congregation, the idea of blessing can obviously have another sense to it. And indeed, when mankind blesses the Lord, or is speaking a blessing unto the Lord, it has this idea of exalting the Lord, of honoring the Lord, of bowing down before the Lord, of worshiping the Lord, of a desire to magnify the Lord, to make God big. When we look through a magnifying glass, the small is made big. Well, God is big already, but when we look at him and we would bless him as David does, we see him as great and large as he is. To exalt, to lift up, to magnify, to honor him. Now, lest we think, dear congregation, once again, that this is just some isolated statement in Scripture, I want to bring your attention to the fact that this is very common, actually, in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, through the authority of God, of course, when thou hast eaten and art full, he's talking about times of meal times and of God's physical provision, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good which he hath given thee. So we may do that as well at the end of a meal. Yes, we may thank God for the food, but we may also bless him for the food. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. And if you would look carefully in the book of Psalms, we're not going to go through a Bible study now and look at them all, but at least 12 times in the book of Psalms, you find this phrase of saints blessing the Lord. And so, dear congregation, this is certainly not an isolated text at all. This is a text that was common language for the saints of God. And ought to be common language for the saints still today. But it's very clear, you get a sense, don't you, from this entire chapter, that David had this deep inward desire. This was not a casual, a shallow thing. He had this deep inward desire to exalt the Lord, to bow down before Him, to worship the Lord as the people in 1 Chronicles 29 did. To bless the Lord, to worship Him, to offer sacrifices to Him. And we have to ask ourselves this simple question this morning, congregation. How? How could David have this desire in his heart to bless the Lord? How could he say something like this? Well, it's actually quite simple. David had been blessed by God, and so he desired to return that blessing back unto the Lord in response. You see, he gave back out of the fullness which God had given him. He, of course, could never give back that complete fullness that God had given him. But as an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of response to God, he desires to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And the psalm closes as well, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so really, every phrase in the psalm reflects this whole theme and this whole idea of blessing God. He had been blessed by God. You see, an unsaved person, congregation, an unbeliever, does not desire to bless the Lord, does not desire to exalt the Lord, because in the experience of their heart, they don't know what the blessing of God is. They hear about it, they understand something of the facts of it, but they've never experienced in their heart, experientially, the reality of it. And you know, many saints today, they have this question, and I think it's a very good question. How do we know when we've been blessed by God? Because many people, they look at things and they say, well, that's a blessing for that person. And others say, no, well, that's a curse for that person. How do we know if we've been blessed by God? Well, if you use the term in a general sense, every one of us has been blessed by God with physical things, with blessings of health, with blessings of work, with blessings of ability to come to church, with blessings of food and drink. And if you understand the term blessing in that, well, then we've all been blessed. But how do we know if we've been blessed by the right hand, the gracious, redemptive hand of God? And I believe, dear congregation, as too in this text, and you find this pattern throughout all of Scripture, it's actually quite easy to determine. We know that we've been blessed by the right hand of God if we desire to live for God. You see, God's blessings are seen in the results or the consequences of that blessing. Now, would to God, of course, we're always living like David, filled with his heartfelt desire to bless the Lord. But you see, if we've never been blessed by the right hand of God, we will never desire to return that praise, return that honor back unto the Lord. And here David, of course, had been blessed by God, and so he desires to return that blessing back unto the Lord. And biblically and spiritually and rightfully so, he is praying here, he is speaking to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And I ask us, congregation, today, is this our desire? Has this been our desire in the past week? Has this been our desire sometime in the past month and since the last Lord's Supper? I'm not asking if this has been a 100% desire 24 hours a day. I think every saint, everyone who has been touched by the grace of God, when they speak rightly and biblically, they would say, "Would to God I did live in that close communion and that desire to bless God all the time and to exalt God all the time." But congregation, is this experienced in our heart from time to time, at least? Do we desire to honor, to humble ourselves before God? You see, if it is, it is only because we have been blessed by the right hand of God. Someone who desires to honor the Lord and to exalt the Lord and to humble themselves before the Lord has been touched by the humbling grace of God. The unsaved heart cannot produce such desires. It simply doesn't work. David here, he blesses the Lord. And dear congregation, this is the right spiritual posture in which to come to the Lord's Supper. Not filled with, "Well, I'm a child of God, I must come." But with a heart of emptiness in self and longing for the fullness of Christ and longing to bless and exalt the Lord. That's the right way, the right spiritual posture internally to come to the table of the Lord. That's the right way to worship God in His house from week to week. That's the right way to live for God wherever we are and whatever we're doing. But we ask ourselves this question more particularly. What is David desiring to bless the Lord for? Well, David begins at a very good spot. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Now, you understand, of course, that the name of God is equivalent to God Himself. We've heard that again and again. Children, you know that from catechism. God's names equal God. That's, of course, why God says so clearly, "He that takes my name in vain, he that takes my name emptily and shallowly, he's angry at that. He's very angry when we take his name in vain." And so, David here, he says, "Bless his holy name." So really, he's blessing God, isn't he? He's exalting God for what? He's exalting God for His holiness. And God's holiness is one of His attributes, one of His characteristics. That's why our first thought this morning is blessing God for His being. And this is the way to show real love, isn't it? It's to be thankful to someone and to be filled with a sense of gratitude for someone for who they are. Isn't that the way it is? When people are truly in love, they look at each other and they realize physical characteristics of a person, or they realize the gifts of a person, but they look at that person when they really love that person and say, "Honey, I love you for who you are. For who you are as a person." And all those other things, they may be important, but the heart of it is for that the being of that person. Well, so much more so with God, congregation. We are to love Him for who He is, for His being. And here David understands this with crystal clarity. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." And it's very interesting that David here begins with a characteristic that a lot of people quickly gloss over, with the holiness of God. And a few messages ago we heard the holiness of God is a couple things. The holiness of God is that He's pure. that He is perfect, that He is spotless. And the holiness of God, on the other hand, is that He is uniquely different. He is not like all the other gods. He is uniquely distinct. And this doesn't cause him to tremble and to fear. This fills him with a sense of joy and of reverence. And in this way, he's much like Moses leading the children of Israel. You remember when Israel went through the Red Sea and all the Egyptians were drowned. And then they came to the other side and they were filled with a song of praise. Moses leading them in this song. And in Exodus 15 and verse 11, one of the phrases of that song is this: Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Moses and David, they were filled with this sense that God's holiness is a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. David here, he's deeply moved in his spirit that God is holy, that God is pure, that God is unique. He's different than all the other false gods. I ask us, congregation, this morning, does the holiness of God fill you with a sense of reverent worship as well? Does it fill you with a sense of desire to live for Him? Are you touched by the fact that such a holy, perfect, pure God, who is so uniquely distinct in His holiness, would come to such a common sinner like you and an impure sinner like you and say, "Come and remember me at my table"? You see, David saw the being of God as a holy thing, but something that was wonderful, something that was awesome, something that was to be, he was to be filled with humble praises about. You see, he loved the holiness of God. He wasn't fearful of it, in trembling, frozen fear. Sometimes we can get like that about the holiness of God, because we can think of it only in terms of a purity and then in terms of our impurity. And sometimes we get like that when we think about the Holy Supper of the Lord. Well, dear congregation, the Supper of the Lord is holy. And God is holy, and His gospel is holy. But that holiness is not meant to keep us away from Him. That holiness is an encourager that we would come to Him. Because it's only from His holiness that we can live holy ourselves. His holiness is the source of our holiness. Be holy, 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, the Lord says, even as I am holy. His holiness is our example, and His holiness is our source. How do you think that you can live holy? How do you think you can worship as a person living in holiness? How do you think you can live for the rest of this week and till the next Lord's Supper without the holiness of God? You see, His holiness is our source of living. David understood something of these concepts, something of these themes, so he draws near to God. He doesn't stay away from God. He draws near to God. And he draws near to God particularly in His holiness and for His holiness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And secondly, David, he blesses God for His benefits. He just lists one of the attributes of His being, that's His holiness, but then he goes through actually a whole list here. And let's look at every one of them very briefly in our second thought this morning of the benefits of the Lord. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who, And here's the first benefit. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. We have iniquities, congregation. We have depravity. That's what that term means. That term actually reflects the vileness of sin. Sometimes there's different words for sin and iniquity and transgression in the Bible. Some of them reflect missing the mark. Some of them reflect stepping over a boundary that God has set. But this particular word reflects the vileness of the nature of sin. The very opposite to the holiness and the purity of God. The offensive nature of sin. The depravity of our reality. And all the consequences that flows from it. But David says here, inspired by God, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" God forgives iniquities. He forgives our vile nature. He forgives our radical depravity in His salvation. It's a legal term. He pardons absolutely and completely. It's a legal term that says that the judge of heaven has declared now not guilty. He has done that for all of His children, not only for David. And this fills David with his sense of awe and of wonder and of gratitude. And so he speaks to himself and says, "Bless the Lord who forgives, who pardons all your iniquities." And congregation, we do come to the table of the Lord this morning to remember the death of the Lord. But we also remember what that death has secured. That death has not only secured heaven and eternal life, but that death of Christ has secured the forgiveness of all our iniquities, dear Church of God. And David understood something of this. And so he's filled with a sense of awe and of wonder for this. This too was the right way to come to His table. And you may say, "Well, I don't know that full forgiveness, that full assurance in my heart." Well, dear congregation, I speak to you very pastorally and say to you, some children of God have greater degrees of assurance. But many children of God struggle with the reality of assurance. That's just the reality of being a Christian. But one of the things that God has given in His church are the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, which are given, as our forms say and our creeds say so clearly, to strengthen us in our faith and to grant us that assurance that we may be longing for. And so you see, it's even illogical on the very basic level to say, "Well, I don't have enough assurance and therefore I won't go," when the very means to strengthen in our assurance is right here before us. God grants His word, He grants His promises, He grants the sacraments that we may grow in the assurance and that we may confess this with greater degrees of conviction, who forgives all thine iniquities. But then David goes on to list another benefit that God grants, who healeth all thy diseases. Actually, if you read the commentaries here, the commentators are somewhat split on what this phrase actually is referring to. Some say, well, he just talked about forgiving iniquities, and now this is a parallel to that. And speaking of sin in terms now of diseases, or the term actually can also be translated afflictions. and how sin is like an affliction or sin is a disease, and God heals that. And there, of course, may be truth to that. But I side congregation with those who speak here about David understanding this as a physical thing. First he speaks about the needs of the soul, and now he's speaking about needs of the body. Some even suggest that David could have written this after he's hurt in battle. So he says, God heals our disease, he heals our afflictions. But the truth is that God not only touches souls, but he also heals the body. He also takes care of the body, that is. He takes care of our afflictions. And you can see that in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went around, didn't he? He went around touching people's souls, and he went around caring for people's physical needs as well. Sometimes healing the lame, sometimes feeding the hungry. And so, we as two-part beings with both a soul and a body, God cares for us in that way. And isn't that true also in a very practical way for every one of us? The last time we were ill, whether that was a big illness or a small illness, who healed us? Well, the doctor gives medicine. We have means, physical means, to help us get better. But who ultimately heals us? It's God, isn't it? Who heals our afflictions, who heals our diseases, who heals our maladies, this term can also mean. And David recognizes, I think, something of this. And he's filled with this sense of awe. That God, he takes care of his soul, but God also takes care of his body. That's why he writes in another place in the psalm. He says, I was young, he goes, but now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, God takes care of our bodies. Third, he says that he redeems our life from destruction. He redeems our life from destruction. In other words, it is the Lord who keeps us from being destroyed. And isn't it so true if we just reflect on our own personal lives for a minute, dear congregation? It's God who kept us from being a train wreck. In whatever form that may be, everyone is unique and individual in our own individual ways. And if we think about our past life, and we think about our current life, and we think about all the details of our lives, don't we all have to acknowledge that it was God who kept us from destroying ourselves? It was God who did this, who redeems our life from destruction. And this very thought filled David with a sense of awe and of wonder. And that too ought to fill us with a sense of awe and wonder. And not being able to stay away from him and his ordinances. Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee. In other words, on top of all this, who crowns thee with loving kindness, first of all. Once again, a very, very wonderful, blessed term. It's this term, maybe you've heard it before, chesed in the Hebrew language. It means God's covenant faithfulness. It's one of those terms that is so magnificent. It's like a three-dimensional term. It's translated here, loving kindness, but it's this idea of God's covenant that continues and continues and continues despite man's unfaithfulness. And so, beside the fact that God, he forgives iniquities, beside the fact that God, he heals maladies, he heals afflictions and diseases, who keeps us from destruction, redeems our life, our whole life from destruction, on top of all that, he crowns us with covenant faithfulness, despite our unfaithfulness. Congregation, if we had to attend this supper this morning based upon our faithfulness since last Lord's Supper, no, even shorter, since last week, since yesterday, if we had to attend this supper based on our faithfulness, this table would have to be empty, wouldn't it? Because we're unfaithful people. We're not proud of that. But that's the reality of our souls. We are unfaithful. But despite our unfaithfulness, God crowns His people with loving kindness, with covenant faithfulness, and also tender mercies, David says. Mercies, that's gracious love. He not only shows tough love, He does that to His people. You can see that all the way through Scripture. Strong exhortation, but also this tender love. Tender mercies. Mercies that are so gentle. Mercies that are so soothing. He crowns His people with loving kindness and tender mercies. Finally, David says, He satisfies thy mouth with good things. What does he mean here with that? Well, I believe he's talking here about the senses. We taste, we see, we smell, we feel. We have senses. And here he's talking about satisfying our mouth with good things. So it gets to the very practical element here, doesn't it? God gives good food, doesn't He? To taste. He gives His good creation to view. He gives emotions that we can sense His love and love one another. He gives edifying music to hear. He touches our senses, who satisfies thy mouth, thy senses with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So we are renewed in the sense of faithfulness, or youthfulness, rather, once again. This is God who does these things, and David recognizes this. And David recognizes something here, important, congregation, and that is this, I believe. David recognized the whole God was for the whole person. He recognized that God is a spiritual being, but God cares for the whole person. He cares for the soul. He cares for the body, body and soul. Yes, the soul is most important. Of course, we know that. But also, the body is a gift of God. And David recognizes the close connection between the two, as our souls are inseparable from our bodies, at least while we're living. And so he's filled with a sense of awe and exaltation to God for who God is for the whole man. And congregation, do our hearts echo this same sense of gratitude and thankfulness to God as David did? But then in closing, let's just notice a couple things. David says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." What is David doing? David is speaking to himself and he's encouraging himself not to forget. Why does he encourage himself not to forget, congregation? He encourages himself not to forget because he knows he's so prone to forget. And isn't this a truth? We are so prone to forget God's characteristics, God's being, and we are so prone to forget God's blessings and His benefits, that we too should encourage ourselves to remember. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to remember all the trivial, unimportant things in life. But because of our sin nature, we too have to speak to our souls and say, forget not all His benefits. Sometimes necessary even just to speak to ourselves in our own prayers, in the same way that David did here. Then too, David and we too are to bless the Lord sincerely. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, David understands that exalting God was not a casual thing, was not a flippant thing, was not an external thing. He's talking here about the necessity of an attitude of worship deep, deep within him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the way we are to worship God on the Lord's Day. That's the way we are to gather around His table as sincere, sincere longers for the Lord. And then too, we are to exalt the Lord with our whole life and all that is within me. In other words, with every part of our being, the way we think, that which we say, that which we do, all that is within me, the whole me, is to bless the Lord. Do we stumble? Yes. Do we falter? Many, many times. Do we think wrong thoughts? Do we say wrong words? Do we do wrong actions, sinful actions sometimes? Yes, yes, yes. To our great grief, yes. But therefore we need God, don't we? That's what the life of faith is. That's what the life of repentance is. That's what the Christian life is all about. This is the way we're to live for the Lord. And this is the way to come humbly and expectantly to His table. And you know, dear congregation, around a family table, children are encouraged, aren't they? They're invited. They're commanded to come for supper, to come for breakfast, whatever meal it may be that's being served. And sometimes children, sometimes maybe adults too, sometimes they're lollygagging or they're outright disobedient. And they miss out sometimes then, don't they? They miss out sometimes in the prayer, the blessing of prayer. Sometimes they miss out on the whole blessing of the physical nourishment that comes from that table. It's the same way sometimes with the children of God, I think. We can be delinquent. We can be holding back for one reason or another. Or we can be outright disobedient. But when we do that, congregation, there's consequence that falls from that. We will not receive the blessing of the Lord. Disobedience never receives blessing. But obedience, sincere inward obedience, outward obedience and inward obedience, by the grace of God only, it results in the blessing of God. And so I would ask you this morning, do you desire to cut yourself off from the blessing of God? Or will you hear His voice as the tables are being offered and opened today to do this in remembrance of me? Will you be an obedient child? Or will you be a disobedient one? I pray, dear congregation, that we may be hungry children, that we may be obedient children, and that this very, very simple command that even a little child can understand may ring in our ears and in our hearts, and that we may come at His invitation, come at His command. Amen.